So I'm going to ask Ross to come to the podium. We're going to talk about management of patients with ALK rearrangements. And, you know, one of the things that came out here is that we were looking for patients on crizotinib to present to Ross. And interestingly, among the five very busy clinicians, we found one who had actually used the drug in lung cancer, just showing you the dilemma, all this interesting information out there that the docs have to be ready with, and yet they see it very rarely. And it turned out, actually, a conversation that you and I and Dr. Linda Farris had about her one patient was absolutely fascinating as we started to dissect that out a little bit. And let's begin by talking about this patient. So it was a 43-year-old man, a never smoker, and in February 2012, so that was more than a year ago, presented with mental status changes, neurologic changes, had multiple lesions in the brain seen on MRI, but also had a lesion in the lung, extensive bone and thoracic mets. The patient had a bronchoscopy that showed adenocarcinoma, EGFR mutation negative, and at that point they didn't have the ALK study. The patient was started on whole brain radiation therapy, was hyaluronic acid, carbo, PEM, and BEV, which he had some GI toxicity to, and they also sent off an ALK, which turned out to be positive. So the patient was placed on crizotinib and actually didn't have that easy of a time on it. Developed neutropenia, had a pretty significant dental infection. The dose was cut in half, and the patient had an excellent response. And we'll actually take a look at some of the images on this patient. You can see this pretty obvious lesion and a couple of lesions in the brain. And here they are after treatment. You can see some adenopathy decreased with the crizotinib. And so at that point that we spoke, which was a couple months ago, the patient was doing well and stable. But there were a number of questions that she had that came up in the conversation that Ross addressed. The first was that the patient had a lot of nausea with the crizotinib. She thought maybe it was a carryover from the chemo he had had previously. But you brought up the issue of whether or not the patient was taking it with food, which in the package insert, it's not that clear, but can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So in the phase one study, nausea was actually one of the major problems. And in the phase one study, you know, you want your patient to sort of be a clean pharmacokinetic slate. So they were taking it on an empty stomach. Later, when that was relaxed and they could take it with food, there's minimal food effect, but it's much, much better tolerated from a GI perspective. So yes, it's the sort of thing that you learn by practice. I mean, they don't have to have, you know, the kind of meal you're all having out here. They can just have a few slices of bread, and that's enough. Often high protein, which sits in the stomach longer, is slightly better. So people who get up in the morning and have a protein bar or a protein shake do very well.